Praise God. This is going to be our sixth and final session of our Go Deep Grace Conference Wednesday nights, and this is one of my favorite messages. The title of this message is Case Dismissed, and if you have your notebooks, you can turn there to that page, and we're going to jump right in to the message Case Dismissed. It's going to be Colossians chapter 2, and praise God, we're only going to go from chapter 2, verse 9, through chapter 2, verse about 15, and we'll share a few other things that'll go along with it. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Praise the Lord. The Bible says here, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Christ. That little phrase, church, in Christ, is all through the New Testament. And it's just a wonderful study to one day just look them all up everywhere it says in Christ or in Him. He wants us to know who we are as a church, who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So everywhere it says in Christ, praise God, He's talking about we, the believer, being in Christ Jesus. And it says here, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." We're looking at the fullness of God lives in the body of Christ. The fullness of God is in Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. If you want to see God, look at me." Okay, so if you want to get to know God and what's He like, look at Jesus and study Him. Look at Christ Jesus. The fullness of God is in Jesus. God's will is in Jesus. Everything He wants to do, everything He wants to say, what Jesus did is the will of God. Okay? Praise the Lord. So if you want to know if God wants you well, look what Jesus did. He healed the sick everywhere He went. You know, if you want to know if God wants you whole and healed and taken care of and reach out to the lost and the poor, that's what Jesus did. So that is God's will, everything Jesus did. So the fullness, praise God, of God, of the deity, dwells in Christ in bodily form. In this verse 10, it gets even better. Look at verse 10 with me. "And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." Now, we talked about the title of this series is Go Deep. This is deep right here. Think about what it's saying. The fullness of God is in Christ, and the fullness of Christ is in His body, the church. Okay? You put that together. The fullness of God in Christ, the fullness of Christ is in the body. That means the fullness of God is in you. Amen? He says to go on to say, we, the body of Christ, you are the light of the world. His light has changed you. Now you, praise God, have the fullness of Christ in you. Man, it's almost too good to be true. It's outrageous to think about that the fullness of God, praise the Lord, in Jesus Christ, and now you have been given fullness of Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. I want you to think about when Jesus rose from the grave, He met with His disciples for about 40 days, 40 nights before He ascended. Okay, He spent that time with them, and then praise God, when He ascended, He told them, He said, "All power and authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go in my name." All power in heaven and earth has been given unto Christ. Okay, the first Adam lost it in the garden to Satan. Jesus, the last Adam, won it back, praise the Lord, all authority over heaven and earth, all of it, praise God, for mankind. Mankind was given dominion over the earth. Mankind fell into sin. Satan kind of took that over, and we had a fallen mankind rule over the whole earth. Jesus came back, praise God, as a man in the victory and won the victory back for us. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Him. And then He says, "Therefore, I send you in my name with my authority to exercise this kingdom authority over the whole earth again."
Amen.
Are you with me? So he's given us, the church, a commission to go into all the world, and he's given us the power and authority to get it done. Amen? So the fullness of God is in Christ, and the fullness of Christ, hallelujah, is in you. Now let's look at verse 11. In him, there that little phrase is again, in him. Everybody say, in him. Hey, just get used to it. It's all through the New Testament. Learn it and understand it. In him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. You were, past tense, already done, circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Think about what he's saying. In the Old Testament, circumcision was a sign that you belong to the covenant people of God. Okay, God made a covenant with the nation of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. And the sign of the covenant that you were a part of the covenant people was circumcision. No other nation in the world at the time did circumcision on their male children at the time. It was initiated by God for his Jewish people, praise the Lord, and it separated them from the rest of the world. It was a sign of they were part of the covenant people. So they were circumcised on the eighth day. Every male child, every Hebrew child, everyone that belonged to the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were circumcised. But folks, everything in the Old Testament is only a type and a shadow of what God wants to do spiritually in the new. Are you with me? So he's saying here, you, praise God, not circumcised in the putting off of the flesh with physical hands, in him, in Christ Jesus, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Not a circumcision done with the hands of men, but a circumcision done by Christ. Now, what does this mean, church? It means you were born with the sinful nature of Adam inside of you. That was our problem. Not that we committed sins on the outside, but the reason we committed sins is because we had a sinful nature on the inside. The problem was on the inside. Amen? What Jesus did when he died on that cross, he became our sin. He took us and placed our sin inside of him, and he died not only for us, praise the Lord, but he died as us. Amen. So in him, it says you were circumcised. It's like he took that knife, that scalpel, and instead of circumcising your flesh, he went inside you and circumcised your heart. He cut out your old nature that was a sinner from Adam. He took it out and put it in him, and he was condemned for our sin. And praise God, when he took it out with him, he buried it.
Amen.
You are not a person with a devil living on one side of your conscience and God living on the other, always in a fight, always in a battle, always having to try to win over the flesh nature that's in you, fighting you. No, according to this verse and the rest of the New Testament, your old man has been crucified. Your old nature, which was a sinner, has been cut out of you and taken out and put in Christ and buried.
Amen.
The church struggles around the world thinking we're always fighting our sinful nature. And they don't understand the truth of the word that says your old nature has been cut out. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's been cut out. Let's look at it closely. Let's understand what he's telling us. We're going deep into his grace. Colossians is deep here. In him, you were also circumcised. In the putting off of your sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. Verse 12. Having been buried with him, past tense, having been buried with him. You see it? Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. He is calling it done. We heard the message a couple weeks ago, tetelestai, it is finished. He took your old nature out. He circumcised your heart that struggled with addiction, that struggled with all these habits, that struggled with these things, the sin nature that was compelled to sin. He took it out and he put it in him. And it says, having been buried, when he was buried, your old nature was buried with him. When he rose, you rose with him. It's a spiritual thing. It's deep. Come on, you got to open up your mind and heart to understand and receive what the Spirit is saying to your spirit. Flesh and blood can't understand these things. But you who are born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, and you can take this in. See, God is retrospective, past, present, future, all at the same time. He can do these things, praise God, for you 2,000 years ago. He knows your past, your present, and your future. He calls it done. Amen? When Jesus shed his blood on that cross, he was doing it for even today. Amen? And he took you and circumcised your heart and buried it with him. And now you have a new nature. People say, well, Pastor Dave, how come I still struggle with my thoughts and my actions and what I'm doing? Well, the problem, praise God, is between your ears. It's not in your spirit. Your spirit, man, hallelujah, you have been made alive and you have the Spirit of God living in you. These are for the folks who are born again. Now, if you haven't been born again yet, you still have that sinful nature, and God loves you and he's teaching you this truth. So one day you can read it, study it, believe it, and receive it. Amen? Amen. Until then, just keep listening and take in some more. But it's such good news. Amen? He loves you. So you who are born again, he's taken the old nature out. He's given you a new spirit. And praise God, don't you know? The spirit he's given you is holy. The Holy Spirit. If you weren't cleansed, the Holy Spirit couldn't live in you. See, God is holy and man was sinful. There was a gap there. So he sent his son Jesus to stand in the gap for us and die for us, that we who believe in Christ can come through Christ to God and now have God living in us. And God could not live in you if you weren't cleansed. So if you believe in Christ, you've been cleansed and you are holy and you are righteous because of the blood of Jesus, not because of what you have done or what you don't do. It's what he has done for you. That's the good news. It's all about Christ. And he says, praise God, that he's taken out your old sinful nature. So what do we need to do? We need to help you renew your mind to the truth of who you are. Be not conformed to the pattern of this world any longer, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If your mind is always battling, I'm still a sinner, I'm still a drug addict, I'm still an alcoholic, I'm still this, you won't have the victory walking out. But when you see what Christ has done and accept it and know who you are and start training your mind to believe what's in your spirit, you'll have victory walking it out daily. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. Glory to God. Wow. Praise the Lord. You have been buried, and you have been raised through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Wow. I tell folks this all the time. We'll be having a baptism here in the last Sunday of the year, December 30th. Many folks want to be signed up to be baptized. What you'll be doing, you'll actually be symbolically showing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and you. You're dead to your old man, the sinful nature, with Christ. You're buried with Christ in baptism. Buried, like in the ground, like the old nature is dead forever, never to come up, never to return. You rise with Jesus Christ, a new creation. Amen? Hallelujah. So you got to see it as done. Accept it as fact first. Don't say, well, I have to keep on, you know, crucifying my flesh and winning this battle. No. I'm telling you, you'll win the battle if you see the word as already done and it's done deal. Now I'm stepping out to live by faith in what the word says about me. That's where the victory is, church. Believe in the message of Jesus Christ and what he's done. Hallelujah. He said it is finished. Hallelujah. He said you were buried and you have risen. Guys, I want to tell you something. My attitude toward life right now. I'm not waiting till I die to start my eternal life. According to this, I believe it. Man, I've been preaching it long enough where I really think this way. I've already died, I've already been buried, and I've already risen, and I'm walking with God now.
Amen.
I've already started my eternal life. Man, one day, if I lay this body down before he returns, praise God, just celebrate, hallelujah, I'm still living, okay? I might lay this shell down and pick me up a new one, praise God, but I'm going to keep on living, okay? I see it as it's happened already, according to the verse. He's calling this past tense. You have died, you have been buried, you have been risen with him, in him, and you're seated in heavenly places with him. And he has the authority over heaven and earth, and he's given you, the believer, the authority to walk this out. Amen? And to go into all the world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Next verse, verse 13. Then we're going to do a little skit, a little drama. I'm going to need three or four actors, volunteers, okay? You won't have to do a speaking part, okay? You just have to stand where I ask you to stand. Don't be afraid. But we'll need a few actors to present this so that you can see it real clearly, okay? Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. Now let's focus there. Let's stop and go back a little bit. Look what he says. Let's analyze this. When you were dead, God is calling people who aren't born again dead. He's calling people who are still living according to the sinful nature of Adam. They haven't yet died and buried it and been raised to life like I'm talking about. They're still living in the sinful nature. According to God, they're dead. You see a lot of zombie shows these days, you know. Dead people, you know. What was it years ago? Saw the first movie. When there's no room left in hell, the dead shall walk the earth, or something like that. So you see these dead folks coming up back to life and running around trying to eat people on the movies. People are infatuated with zombie movies these days. Well, folks, in the spiritual realm, there's more truth to that. Really, the Bible calls, if you're not born again, he sees you as dead. See, real life isn't heart beating and walking around, okay? Real life is when you know God. Amen. Until you know God and come to be born again, you're not really living. You're just going through the motions of what's left over from a fallen nature and a fallen world, and you're bound by the darkness of the fallen world. That's death, man. That's not life. Look at all the struggle people go through in the darkness, man. Come on, you've seen it. You've been there. You've seen the struggle of divorce and family separated and darkness and drug addiction and mental health and struggle and struggle and strife. Man, that's not life. That's death. Amen. When you were dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God's love reaching to you, shining the light in that darkness, and God made you alive when you responded to the light. You didn't do it. It says, when we were dead in our sins, God made me alive. What did I do? I saw the light and responded to it. He made me alive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a joy. It's nothing we have done in ourselves. It's not religious codes and rules we follow. It's not striving to climb some ladder of success. It's a shame when folks climb ladders of religion and their faith and get to the top of the ladder at the end of the end of their life and look down and realize they've been climbing the wrong ladder all their life. Or they've had faith in something all their life and realize they got to the end, they had faith in the wrong thing. Or they were sincere about their faith and got to the end and found out they were sincerely wrong. Folks, you can have faith and you can be sincere and find out you've been sincerely wrong all your life. There is one way to God the Father. There is one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He's the one that died for the sins of the world, and by believing and receiving what he's done, you can be born again of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, There is a drama and a skit in these next verses that's going to demonstrate this. He made you alive. So I see really two types of people on the earth. I don't see black and white, Chinese or Latin American, this race or that race. I see those who have been born of Adam that still has the sinful nature, that are walking around like zombies, dead in their sins, and those who have responded to the light and have been born again. To me, there's those who are in Christ and those who need to be. That's the only two kinds of people I see. Those who have been born into the family of God and those who need to be born again. Amen? And start having real life. Praise the Lord. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Everybody say all.
All.
That means future sins too. He forgave us our sins of the past. He forgave us our sins of the present. And He forgave us our sins of the future. Just think logically with me. If what Jesus did didn't cover your future sins, none of us could be saved, because we were all born in the future from when He did it 2,000 years ago. Amen? Amen? So the blood that was shed covers everyone in the future as well.
Amen.
For those who believe it. You see? It's powerful. Amen. God made you alive. He forgave us all of our sins. Verse 14. Having canceled, everybody say canceled.
Canceled.
The written code with its regulations. Now, come on, I don't just read through the verses. We stop and think and analyze, and what is it saying? What written code with regulations did He cancel? Praise the Lord. Y'all been coming to this church a while. Yes. Jesus, praise God, forgave us our sins, and He canceled the law with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Church, I want to tell you, when I first point this out to many pastors and leaders and churches, wherever I go around the world, most folks have misinterpreted this verse, okay, and read over it without really stopping and analyzing it. But it becomes so clear when you just take a look at it and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth. And He will right now, praise God, right now to you in a way that you'll never forget it. Amen? It says, praise God, He forgave us our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations. And then it says that was against us, that stood opposed to us. You brought your Bibles here? Underline that. Circle it. Go ahead, guys. Open it up. Stay with me. Flip those pages. Colossians 2, 14. Circle. Canceled. That was against us, that stood opposed to us. The Bible here, by the Holy Spirit, through the writings of Paul, is saying that the law was not for you. The law was against you. The Bible says the law didn't help you. It stood in opposition to you. The law and the regulations of the law is holy, is righteous, is of God, but it didn't lift a finger to help mankind. What the law did was say, hey, you must obey this, okay? You must do these things and don't do these. And if you break the law, you'll be under a curse. And the penalty for the law is death for breaking the law. The law had all kind of blessings that went with following it and obeying it. But the key is you had to obey it all perfectly, okay? If you broke one, you were guilty of all, and the judgment and the curse of the law fell upon you. And it was a struggle. So the law wasn't for you, the Bible says. The law was against you. It stood opposed to you. Why? Because the law, like two big stone mirrors shining in the face of all mankind, where you could see yourself and recognize you couldn't make it, the law showed you your sin. The purpose of the law was not to help you or not to make you righteous. The purpose of the law was to show you your sin and cause you to recognize, Lord God, I can't do it. There's something wrong. I recognize where the problem is. The problem is not my sins I keep struggling with. The problem is my nature on the inside. Lord, save me from myself. Send the Savior. That's what the law did. It showed us our sin to bring us to the Savior. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So the law was against us. Man, first time I say that in a church somewhere, they want to stone me. Saying the law. No, the law is holy. It's righteous. The problem was not with it. The problem was with mankind that had a flaw on the inside that could not do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, our Lord Jesus Christ did something about it. It says here, He forgave us our sins. Praise God. He took the penalty of the law. He became a man, and the curse of the law for breaking it fell on that man instead of this man. Amen. He became sin for us, and the curse of the law fell on him instead of us, and the blessings of obeying the law perfectly now falls on us in him. We couldn't keep it perfectly, so God sent His one and only Son, who didn't yield to Satan, who defeated him in the garden, praise God, who lived out the perfect life, never to sin, and Jesus Christ obeyed the law, keeping the covenant, and then He gives His righteousness of what He did to you as a gift you do not deserve. Isn't that wonderful? He, praise God, became our sin, and then He takes our sin and gives us in return the gift of righteousness. Now, folks, realize this verse, what He's saying. He forgave us our sins, and then He canceled the law. Wow. That's another one that religious folks have struggled with when we read it for the first time. Pastor, are you saying the law is canceled? I'm saying the Holy Spirit said the law is canceled through Paul, yes. It's what the Bible says. Look at it. He canceled it. He canceled the law. He took, look at it real close here. It says, with its regulations that was against us, that was opposed to us, He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Circle that pronoun, it. Praise God. Bring your pens. Bring your notebooks. Don't get on that bus without it. Amen. Praise the Lord. He took it away. When I ask most Christians, most churches, what is it He took away? And the answer comes out, our sin. Wait a minute. Yes, He became our sin, and He died for our sin, but that's not what this verse is saying. If you've had English 1, 2, 3, or 4, you should know how to analyze a sentence. The sentence where He said He took it away is talking about the it referring into the sentence before, meaning the law and the regulations. He took it away and nailed it to the cross. That's what it says. Read it again. Amen. Are you with me? Yes, praise the Lord. Man, this is why we got to go teach this to pastors and leaders all over the world. Why? Because they haven't seen it yet. And when they see it, because they love God and have the Holy Spirit, they see it for life and they start teaching the truth. And it sets the captives free that you can live out who you really are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said, He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Now watch this. Having disarmed, verse 15, the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now let's explain this verse. Having disarmed the powers and authorities. The first question that comes to mind when we read that verse, obviously, is what powers and authorities? Well, folks, if you've read Ephesians 6, you know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your real wrestle is not against people. It's not against your family. not against your mother, your father, the lawyer, the judge, your boss. The real wrestle is not against people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in heavenly realms. I'm talking about there is a God and there is angels and there's a devil and there's demons. And it's real on both ends. And the Bible says you don't really wrestle against people, but the dark realms over nations and people that have influenced folks to stay living in the dark, that's where the real problem is. We love the person, but we break the yoke of the bondage the enemy has upon that person, and now that person becomes lovable.
Amen?
Amen? So I'm not mad or hate anybody for what they're doing. Folks, I'm not mad at the worst sinner around with the foul mouth, with how they live, how they action. They can't but help but live out their nature. If their nature is a sinner, they're going to sin. So why should I be mad at them for living out their nature? I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I'm going to fight against what's behind it, the principalities and powers of darkness that has that community in that area and that family in bondage. And by the light to shine, it's going to break the darkness and see them set free. So we're not mad at sinners. We love them.
Amen.
Are you with me? Praise God. So the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers. So verse 15 says, having disarmed the powers and authorities. What powers and authorities? The powers of darkness. The demonic realm of darkness. Okay? We disarm them. But first of all, it says they were armed. The principalities and powers of darkness were armed with something against you. And Jesus disarmed them where they can't come against you with it anymore. Now, we're going to do our little skit and show you, praise God, what this means to see this disarming of the powers and authorities. Fellas, come help me. First, let's get this out of the way. And just move that back a little bit, and we'll replace it with God's desk. Okay, church, this is going to become... Yeah, I have to grab it from the bottom because this sometimes comes off. So grab it from here. All right, just move it out of the way. All right. Guys, this we've just transformed into a courtroom. So instead of sitting in a church, you've now sitting in a courtroom. And, some of y'all are familiar with that. How many have been to a court before? Wow. Okay. All right. So this is a courtroom, and this is the judge's desk. And here is the judge's seat. Okay, and this courtroom happens to be the courtroom of the living God. So this is the Supreme Court of all the earth. And I need a volunteer. You, come. Come, my friend. You're going to be, let's give a hand to God right here. This is going to be God. Okay. God, have a seat on your throne. This is not a speaking part. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's not a speaking part. All right. Also, in God's courtroom comes the defendant who's guilty. Come, defendant. Now, this man represents mankind. When we use the word mankind, it means men and women. He made mankind. He made men and women, all of them. So this guy represents all of us, and the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he is guilty of breaking the righteous requirements of the law of God, and now he has to stand before his judge. Sit up, buddy. Thank you. Put your feet straight. That's better. Stay there. All right. So now he has to stand before the righteous judge. He is handcuffed, he is bound, he is guilty, and he comes before holy God, and he knows he's sinful man. This man, like us, when we were involved in the darkness, we knew we're guilty. We knew we had violated righteousness. We had a conscience Even before we had any type of religious denomination, God made mankind with a conscience, and there's a system of right and wrong that he created. But more so than that, he also began to reveal himself in everything he created. Amen? So no man is without excuse. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And now the trouble is, praise God, there's some serious law here. And according to God's law of the land, when you break the law, there's only one penalty. The penalty for breaking his law is not, you know, you sentenced to 20 years and the judge gives you 10 and you get out on three of good behavior. If you go to fresh start, you might get just one. In the law of the land and God's law, he's perfect and just, and there is no yielding to what the law says. He has to follow his own code. Okay? The penalty for your sin, son, is death, and you know you're guilty. Now, from the other side comes the prosecuting attorney. Come. The prosecuting attorney has a briefcase. In this matter, it is a bright green briefcase. Now, the prosecuting attorney, okay, the district attorney's person, has a role in a job. In his role, he is the accuser of the brethren, and he is the one who has been keeping a record of all the times you broke the law. He has every time you broke it. He has the times. He has who you were with. He has the video. He has the tapes. He has the law, and he has every time you broke it. He has been building this case against you all your life. He wants to condemn you and take you to hell forever. And you deserve it. So the courtroom is quite gloomy. You know, it's, the evil music's playing. It's looking part of bad. His mom and family in the back are weeping. It doesn't look good. He has a sad face on. Show him that sad face. Sad face. Sad face. Sad face. There you go. He's sad. He knows he's guilty. And he knows what the law says. And he knows every time he broke it is written and recorded, and it does not look good for him at all. And the judge is sitting there. But praise the Lord, in on the other side of the courtroom walks the defense attorney. Hallelujah. Now, when the defense attorney walks in right over here, praise God, and you can step about three steps closer so they can get the whole thing right there, whole thing on video. When the defense attorney walks in, something supernatural happens in the courtroom. All of a sudden, you know, the lights become a little brighter. The music changes. The atmosphere changes. All of a sudden, something supernatural in a hope, against all hope, a hope comes into this man, and all of a sudden, his mother in the back recognizes it. Look at her. There she is, April the mother. She was sad and crying, weeping, knowing her son's guilty. But when the defense attorney walked in, some sort of hope comes, and she keeps praying. Now, this hope comes to this defendant who knows he's guilty. Now, praise God, we know who the judge is, God. We know the defendant is all of us who are guilty. And we know who the prosecuting attorney is. This is Satan. Everybody say boo.
Boo.
Satan, the Bible says, is the accuser of the brethren. Satan accuses you night and day, whispering it in your mind as well, trying to get you to think and consider all the things you've done wrong and how guilty you are, and keep you in the bondage to that darkness. But when the light comes in the room, now something special happens from here. All of a sudden, you're watching and you see the defense attorney, your defense attorney, look at the judge and smile. And the judge smiles back. And then your defense attorney smiles at you and gives you a little wink. And somehow you're catching a little more hope that something's happening. And then you look a little closer and your defense attorney winks at the judge and the judge winks back. And now you recognize something. Your defense attorney knows your judge. You look a little closer and you realize the next thing. Your defense attorney looks like your judge. As a matter of fact, he's the splitting image of the judge.
Praise God.
The Bible says, for all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form in Christ Jesus. He is the exact replica of God, his Father, walking this earth. Praise God. Aren't you glad that God so loved the world? That, praise God, he's not a God that's distant and far away, that you're always striving to please and can't ever make it, and you always feel condemned. But God's a God who loves you and sent his Son, praise the Lord, that you can have a relationship with him because he longs for you to be in his family. It's such good news. Christianity is where it's at, man. All other religions have such a distant God that you can't walk with. You're always striving to please, but you'll never make it. Amen? So, Jesus comes, the splitting image of God, walking the earth as a man, as you. But you couldn't keep the law or obey it, so he did it for you. You, praise the Lord, need to die. According to that law, it says you deserve death. You know, now, all of a sudden, with that peace that's now coming, Mama's now smiling because she sees something happening here. She keeps praying. There's a stirring going on. Amen? Amen. And he's standing there for you. Now it's time. The judge says, okay, Satan, present your case against this man. And he slaps that big briefcase that he's armed with against you, and he slaps it on the judge's desk. And now everything you've ever done, he has been a big cheese man, granted knowing he's going to win his case, he wants to take you to hell. He's been working on it all your life. But watch what happens, church. And this is the most significant part. Okay? He puts that briefcase that he's armed with on the judge's desk. And the judge opens it up only to find something happened. There's nothing in it. The law is no longer there because the Bible says Jesus fulfilled it. And after he fulfilled it all, living up to its righteous standards perfectly, he took it and nailed it to his cross.
Amen.
So he disarmed the powers and authorities, the rulers of darkness in heavenly realms that had something against you. What was Satan armed with against man? Wow. Satan has been armed with God's own law against us. Let that sink in. Satan had the legal right, according to the authority of God, to hold mankind in hell. Because God's word said, if you break the law, you deserve to die. So Satan had the legal right, according to law, by the law, to hold mankind in death and hell forever. God looks at this empty case. If there's an empty case, and there's no law that says you broke it, and then there's no record of you breaking a law that's not there, he only has one thing he can do. He slaps his gavel down and he says, case dismissed. Now, your case, if you are in Christ, your case has been dismissed forever. Never to be brought up again. it is finished once and for all. It is satisfied. The judgment and justice of the law fell on this one. You see, the reason God can dismiss the case forever, it's not because he makes light of sin. It's not because he's not a holy, righteous judge. No, praise God, he cannot let sin go unpunished. The penalty for sin in the Old Testament is death. The penalty for sin in the New Testament is still death. The difference is, 3 days before, this one, your defense attorney, he came in your behalf and he stood in the gap between you and God, and standing in the gap, Jesus is the only mediator between sinful man and holy God. There is only one mediator, defense attorney, only one that can go between sinful man and holy God, the righteous one, Jesus Christ. So Jesus came in your defense, and he went to the cross by his own free will to save you, and he was strapped and beaten on that cross, and the blood that came from him and the judgment from that law fell on this one instead of this one. He circumcised your nature from your father and your mother and your grandfather all the way back to Adam, your sinful nature that was in you as a man. He cut it out and he became your sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. When he became your sin, there was a point on the cross when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is the first time in all his life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that he said, my God. Everywhere else he said, Abba, Daddy, Father, intimate, close relationship. Now he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? How could Jesus say this? Because at that moment, he was separated. At that moment, he became sin. He became our sin. And he felt that. And he felt forsaken for the first time in life because he became the sin of all of us. It was imputed, imparted into him. And now the judgment, righteous, holy judgment from the law. Judgment is right. Justice is true. It has to happen. Praise the Lord. Okay? It can't just be swept under the rug. Okay? You have to stand. Okay? You have to, you know, it's got to be made right. God is holy. He's a perfect judge. So the judgment of the law fell on him. And church, praise God, when it did, when he became our sin, and he cried out, Tetelestai, it is finished. All the sacrificial system of the Old Testament and everything that needed to be fulfilled was fulfilled in this one. And all of the punishment was also fulfilled in this one. And now he imparts his righteousness into you. Praise God. Now, Jesus, the mediator between God and man, took it all. But praise the Lord, when they would offer that sacrifice on that altar for all those years of the old covenant, the fire of God would consume the sacrifice. But praise God, this time it was offered, Jesus consumed all of the wrath, took it in, buried, and overcame it, and God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Now we can understand. Brother, listen to this. Now you can understand these verses. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. You are free forever. Therefore, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. He can no longer keep accusing you and causing you to feel guilty and condemned and ashamed. If you know the truth, you'll know who you are in Christ rather than who you were in Adam, praise God. And this will cause you to be able to live it because it's there, because it's done, it's finished.
Amen.
This is the victory to walk out. Praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give Jesus now. He's been brought into the family. Jesus' brother. We're all brethren. Let's give him a hand. That's us. Let's give God the Father a hand. And everybody just boo Satan one more time. And you can bring that case back to over there. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Now, amen. Wow. This is why we call this the Go Deep Grace Conference. We go deep into the truth of His Word. It's not just some religious act. We go on Sunday, listen to a few songs, and leave. We study the Word, and we allow the Holy Spirit to open us up and teach us the truth. Church, God's doing something special in the world right now. We are in end time revival, world harvest, going into all the world and bringing people from every nation and every tongue into the truth of Jesus Christ. While you were sleeping, bound by the darkness, doing your own thing, struggling in your life with all your problems, this has been happening for 2,000 years. I've been excited to be a part of it the last 35 years. Where you been, man? It's time to redeem the time. Get plugged into the kingdom of God and go ye therefore, praise God, the rest of your life and being about the Father's business, spreading this good news.
Amen.
Amen? There's no more time to slumber. See, there's shaking going on in the world right now. And whatever can shake is going to shake. Coming up, there's going to be more government shake. Coming up, there's going to be more economy shake. Coming up, there's going to be more of nature shaking the earth. But whatever is standing on the rock of Jesus Christ will stand forever. The kingdom of God is the only thing that's going to be left standing. Okay? Everything else is going to shake. This truth is deep. I encourage you to go back through it. Read it again. Understand it. And if you have your notes, a few more verses I read. Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law for those who believe. Why does half the church around the world or more still think we as Christians are under the law? That doesn't make sense. They've been blinded. Hey, all those who believe Jesus died and rose again are my brothers in Christ, but they're struggling walking in the victory for lack of knowledge. Okay? This truth is going out all over the world. This is not some new, this Go Deep Grace Conference is not something I came up with or something, or some new truth from this church. No, no. This has been preached for 2,000 years. Okay? Being preached radically. Paul taught it then, and it's still being taught around the world, and it's going out mass. But Satan could not defeat the church, so he comes in and tries to tweak it a little here and there with a little false teaching here, a little error there. And that error and that false teaching weakens the body and causes we Christians who've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ to consider ourselves still as fallen and Christians, and we're always going to struggle till one day in a sweet by and by. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to barely make it. He died on the cross to make you a new creation and fill you with His Spirit that you might be a victorious overcomer. Amen?
Amen.
But we can't live as an overcomer until we understand this foundational truth of who we are in Christ. But twice a year at the spring and fall revival, we invite some evangelists to come in and start telling everybody about their sin again. And by gosh, the leaders of the church and the deacons are shouting, wow, didn't he step on our toes tonight? Didn't he make us feel like sinners again? And then they bring a bunch of folks that were saved last year back to the altar to have to get saved again. Folks, let me tell you something. No one can be born again. You can't be born again again. You can be born again and fall and struggle and rededicate yourself and come back to truth and grow faster and grower and get stronger. Amen.
Amen.
But you're not going to be born of Adam and die and be buried and be resurrected a new life in Christ and then have to go back to be born in Adam and back to be born in Christ. It never happens. The problem, praise God, is you haven't been taught the truth of what happened to you when you were saved and baptized and who you are.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's the truth that sets you free. This is repentance. Repenting means change your mind. You're changing your mind from one way of thinking and turning to believe the truth. Every time we preach, people are repenting from false things and learning new things, right things. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. We're changing our mind to walk into the truth of who we are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. I told you at the beginning of this conference, the title of it and on the cover is our theme verse. 2 Corinthians 3:6, he has made you ministers of a new covenant, okay? I commission all the pastors everywhere we go at the end. According to the word of God, by the authority invested in Christ Jesus through his church, you are ministers of the new covenant. Each believer here, you have been called into the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling people to God by not counting their sins against them, but tell them the sin has already been paid for 2,000 years ago. Turn and believe this good news. So you are commissioned now by the authority of God to be ministers of this truth of reconciliation. God is reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them, because he already counted it all on Jesus. So, pastors, leaders, ministers, teachers, Christians, go tell your friend, your neighbor the good news. It's not good news to say, buddy, man, I know you're struggling with this, sin, and that. God's mad at you. He's going to judge you. You're going to bust hell wide open. You better turn before you burn. That's not good news. Let me demonstrate a better way, okay? God loves you, and I know you're struggling, but the good news is God's not mad at you. As a matter of fact, all your sin you've ever done has already been paid for by Jesus Christ. Amen. He loved you so much, he went to the cross 2,000 years ago, and he paid for your sin. Believe this good news of Jesus, and you'll be born again. That's the truth of the word. That's why in Fresh Start, we don't spend 7 months teaching you about your sin. You already know you got a struggle or you wouldn't have come. We teach you about the answer, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Just want to pray for you and believe for you. Will this get this drama be etched in your spirit and renew your mind to the truth of what Christ has done? Do you see it a little more clearer now?
Yes, sir.
I encourage you to go back to Colossians and in your own time, read it for yourself and think about what was said. God wants us to meditate upon the scripture, to hear it, to read it, to think about it, so much so that it becomes a part of you to know who you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I pray and believe by the word that was spoken. You are the word. Lord, that you revealed yourself to each heart in a deeper way through this truth in Colossians. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for our brother Paul, who you put your Holy Spirit to articulate this for us in a way we can understand. Lord, bless these men and women here right now to be able to understand this truth and know and believe and walk in who they are in Christ. Now, Lord, I pray for any of those who are not born again yet. Lord, that they will seek, that they will read, that they will study, that they will begin to seek you. And as they seek, you will show them yourself in a deeper way, that they might also turn and believe the good news. Bless each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen.